Sadhu. Okay, I think. Is PG here?
Yeah, she's talking.
Oh, okay, don't worry. We can start the puja first. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami. Sura Meraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna Sarpa Dittena Dippena Tamadang Sena ติโลกะดิพังสัมบุดังปุจายามิตโมโนดังกันดะสัมบรายุเทนะดุเพนะหังสุกังตินะปุจายะปุจานิยังตังปุจาบาจานะมุตเถมังวันนะกันดะกุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตตินปุจายามิโมนินดาสะสิริปาดาสารโรเหปุจเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหทุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปาเลปริกาปิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทโภจนาปริคาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance of offering of like. May this offering of like to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waterLet us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faithremind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation and free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transform merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami.สังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated then PG can offer the garland to the Guanyin up there. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have a half an hour meditation. We are off the light. Then those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. Then those who need to train their spiritual faculty or train their mind, you can also go ahead. As long as you do it with understanding, you will progress. The main key points of meditation is just relax body and mind completely and silence your mind. Whatever thought arise, let it arise. Whatever tactile consciousness arise or thought consciousness arise, just let it arise. Don't try to know, just aware, aware, aware. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then just relax until the mind becomes very, very quiet. Then if you want to try some form of absorption or strengthening of your mental states to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, you can experience it. You only relax and allow your anapanasati to go on. If you use other object of meditation, you can just stay at the object of meditation, then silence everything. It's the same. And if you do anapanasati, finally your mind will become very quiet, very still, very silent. We call it pasati, tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, the silent mind. When the mind is so quiet, you just stay with it, don't do anything. Then later on, if you are patient enough, relaxed enough, silent enough, that sati will stabilize until your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, you will know. Then after that, whatever movement or activity is like magnified. Before that, you will experience the peace, the calmness, especially piti, spiritual calmness, spiritual joy or spiritual rupture. Then you continue to relax and silent. It will go into pasati straight away. But if you do continuous mindfulness, you will experience blissfulness. Or they call sukhang. Then you relax into it and silent. Then it becomes very quiet, very still. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind. Or the Buddha called the enlightenment factor of pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. So from there, you use it to meditate. So after your breath become very quiet, very still, you can actually maintain mindfulness at your breathing. Then later on, when your mind stabilizes and your mind enters sati, you will experience the higher sati or more refined sati. Then you can detect the subtle breathing again. Even like no breathing, you can detect it again. Like that subtle breathing come back to life again. Then you can be aware of many things. Then whatever movement is like magnified. Then wherever you locate this mind is very sensitive. Then after that, you can drop it to your mind base and stay there. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and just maintain awareness on that object of meditation. It can be a heartbeat or whatever vibration around your heart area, just stay there and let the mind locate whatever on its own. When you are completely quiet, still, just tranquil, no thought, silent mind, still, then you stay relaxed at your heart area. Then if you are patient enough, not long, this silent mind can detect the gateway. Then a lot of things will happen. Then your meditation will become very different. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes or so. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
person still wants to meditate, you can continue. Put yourself in now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed and stabilized. These are the mind state that you need to develop the daily mindfulness so that you can make use of all these trained mind states to meditate in the midst of life. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawali su atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachatang veditabho vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Yadidam chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasangho. Ahuneyo pahoneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us mindfully pay respect to Pajam. Budang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. We will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 175, chapter 10. Yeah. Today is Tuesday, 28 November 2017, Tuesday class. Yeah. Okay. Page 175. The heading is on Visakha. Visakha was the devout and generous daughter of a millionaire called Dhanajaya. Her mother was Sumana Devi, and her beloved grandfather was millionaire Mandaka. When she was only 7 years old, the Buddha happened to visit her birthplace, Badiya, in the kingdom of Anga. Her grandfather, hearing of the Buddha's visit, said to her, "Dear girl, this is a happy day for you and a happy day for me. Summon the 500 maids or maidens who are your attendants. Mount 500 chariots and accompanied by your 500 slave maidens. Go forth to welcome the Buddha." Readily she agreed, and as advised, went up to the Buddha, saluted him, and sat respectfully at one side. The Buddha was pleased with her refined manner, and he preached the Dhamma to her and others. Though young in age, she was comparatively far advanced from a moral standpoint. As such, immediately after hearing the Dhamma, she attained the first stage of sainthood, Sotapatti, in her early age, which was age 7. Huh? Just imagine, 7 years old, just listen to one sermon. He is already a Sotapan. So it's not difficult. He really had the faith, attentive, especially those who have their cultivation from the past. All these are possible. Excuse me. Books states that even in the prime of her youth, she possessed masculine strength and was gifted with all womanly charm. So the charms are all described on note 1, which is in Pali. Her hair was like a peacock's tail, and when loosened, it reached the hem of her skirt, and then the end of the hair curled and turned upward. Her lips were of a bright red color, and were smooth and soft to the touch. Her teeth were white and were evenly set without interstices and shone like a roll of diamonds. Her skin, without the use of any cosmetic, was as smooth as the blue lotus red and was of a golden color. She retained her youthful appearance, although she bore several children later on. Endowed with these 5 kinds of feminine beauty, hair, flesh, bone, skin, and youth, young Visakha excelled both in worldly wisdom and spiritual insight. When she was about 15 or 16 years old, on a certain festival day, she went on foot with her retinue in a holiday spirit to the river to bathe. Suddenly there arose an unexpected shower, and all but young Visakha ungraciously ran as fast as they could and entered a hall where there were some Brahmins who had come in search of a suitable maiden possessed of the five kinds of beauty for their young master. Cultured Visakha, without any particular haste, gracefully proceed at her usual gait and enter the hall with garment and ornament all wet. The inquisitive Brahmin criticized her for not quickening up her pace as others has done, and thus escaping being drenched in the rain. Talented Visakha rose to the occasion and gave an atemporal discourse on deportment according to her views. She said that she could have run even faster, but she refrained from doing so purposely. Then she explained that it was not becoming of a king adorned with all jewel to gird up his lawn and run in the palace court. Likewise, it is not becoming for a fully caparisoned state animal to run. It should move about with the natural grace of an elephant. Monk also incur criticism when they run about like lay person or people, like ordinary lay people or laymen. Likewise, it is not a dignified spectacle to see a woman running about like a man. Brahmins were pleased with her instructive talk and thought that she was an ideal wife for their master. Accordingly, arrangements were made to give her in marriage to their master. The name of the master is Punyavadana, himself the son of a millionaire named Migara, who was not a follower of the Buddha. The marriage festival was conducted on an elaborate scale on the wedding day, in addition to a large dowry and an exquisitely rich ornament. Mahalata Pilandana, her wise father, gave her the following admonishment. Do not carry outside the indoor fire. So here the note say, indoor fire signifies slandering. Do not take inside the outdoor fire. Give only to those that give. Do not give to those that do not give. Give both to those that give and do not give. Sit happily, eat happily, sleep happily, tend the fire, honor the household divinity. Their implied meaning is as follows. The wife should not speak ill of her husband or parent-in-laws to others. Neither should their shortcoming nor household quarrels be reported elsewhere. A wife should not listen to the reports and story of other households. Things should be lent to those who do return them. No articles should be lent to those who do not return them. Poor kinsfolk and friends should be helped if they do. Should be helped even if they do not repay. A wife should sit in a becoming way on seeing her parent-in-law or her husband. One should keep standing and not seated. Before partaking of her meal, a wife should first see that her parent-in-law and husband are served. She should also see that her servants are well cared for. Before sleep, A wife should see that all doors are closed, furniture is safe, servants have performed their duties, and that parents-in-law have retired. As a rule, a wife should rise early in the morning, and unless unwell, she should not sleep during the day. Number 9 is, parents-in-law and husband should be regarded as fire. One should deal carefully with them as one would deal with fire. Parents-in-law and husband should be regarded as divinities. It is noteworthy that the Buddha himself refers to parents-in-law as divinities. There on the day she arrived in Savatthi, the city of her husband, she was showered with various presents sent from people of all rank according to their status and ability. But so kind and generous was she that she distributed them among the donors. Themselves was the king. With a kind message, and treated all the residents of the city as her own kinsfolk. By this noble gesture, on the very first day she came to her husband's house, she became endeared to all the people of the city. There is an incident in her life which revealed her dutiful kindness towards, even towards animals. Hearing that her well-bred male gave birth to a foal in the middle of the night, immediately she repaired to the stable with her feminine attendant, bearing torches in their hand, and attended to all the male's needs with the greatest care and attention. As her father-in-law was a staunch follower of Nigata Nataputta, he invited a large number of naked ascetics to his house for alms. On their arrival, Visakha was requested to come and render homage to the so-called Arahants. She was delighted to hear the word Arahant and hurried to the hall, only to see naked ascetic, devoid of all modesty. The sight was too unbearable for a refined lady like Visakha. She reproached her father-in-law and retired to her quarters without entertaining them. The naked ascetic took offense and found fault with the millionaire for having brought a female follower of the ascetic Gautama to their house. They asked him to expel her from the house immediately. The millionaire pacified them. One day he sat on a costly seat and began to eat some sweet rice porridge from a golden bowl. At that moment, a bhikkhu entered the house for alms. Visakha was fending her father-in-law, and without informing him of his presence, she moved aside so that he might see him. Although he saw him, he continued eating as if he had not seen him. Visakha politely told the bhikkhu, "Pass on, venerable sir. My father-in-law is eating stale fare." In Pali, is called Puranang. The ignorant millionaire misconstrued her words, was so provoked that he ordered the bowl to be removed and Visakha to be expelled from the house. Visakha was the favorite of all the inmates of the house, and so nobody dared to touch her. But Visakha, disciplined as she was, would not accept without protest such treatment, even from her father-in-law. She politely said, "Father, there is no sufficient reason why I should leave your house. I was not brought here by you like a slave girl from some fort. Daughters whose parents are alive do not live like this. It is for this very reason that my father, when I set out to come here, summoned 8 clansmen and entrusted me to them saying, if there be any fault in my daughter, investigate it. Send words to them and let them investigate my guilt or innocence. The millionaire agreed to her reasonable request and summoned them all. Then told them at a time of festivity, while I was sitting and eating sweet milk rice porridge from a golden bowl, this girl said that I was eating what was unclean. Convince her of this fault and expel her from my house. Then Visakha was given the chance to explain. Visakha proved her innocence by stating, "That is not precisely what I meant." When a certain bhikkhu was standing at the door for alms, my father-in-law was eating sweet milk rice porridge, ignoring him. Thinking to myself that my father-in-law, without performing any good deeds in this life, is only considering the merits of the past. So I told the bhikkhu, "Pass on, venerable sir, my father-in-law is eating stale fare." So this is a very, very wise way of putting it. What fault of mine is there in this? She was acquitted of all the charges, and the father-in-law himself agreed she was not guilty. So this is to show you how Visakha, with the Dhamma, he can conduct herself in a very, very appropriate way, befitting of her role as a daughter-in-law, wife, and also head of the family to run the all this worker and all they call maiden or the one. She was acquitted of all the charge, and the father-in-law himself agreed she was not guilty. But the spiteful millionaire charged her again for having gone behind the house with male and female attendants in the middle watch of the night. When she explained that she actually did so in order to attend on a mall in travel, the clansman remarked that their noble daughter had done an exemplary act which even a slave girl would not do. She was thus acquitted of the second charge too. But the revengeful millionaire would not rest until she was found guilty. Next time he found fault with her for no wrong of hers, he said that before her departure from the house or home, her father gave her 10 admonitions. For instance, he said to her, "The indoor fire is not to be taken out of the door. Is it really possible to live without giving fire, even to our neighbor on both sides of us?" questioned the millionaire. She availed herself of the opportunity to explain all the 10 admonitions in detail to his satisfaction, to his entire satisfaction. The millionaire was silent, and he had no other charges to make. Having proved her innocence, self-respecting, Visakha now desired to leave the house, as she was ordered to do so at first. The millionaire's attitude towards Visakha was completely changed, and he was compelled to seek pardon from her daughter-in-law for what he has uttered through ignorance. Forbearing Visakha, in accordance with her true Buddhist spirit, grant him pardon on condition that he would give complete freedom to her to carry her religious activity as she desired. Her father-in-law readily agreed to this and granted her full freedom to perform her religious activity. Now Visakha lost no time in inviting the Buddha to the house for alms. The Buddha came and he had his meal. After the meal was over, the Buddha expounded a sermon. The millionaire sat behind a curtain and listened to the sermon. At the end of the discourse, he became a sotapan and acknowledged his boundless gratitude to his daughter-in-law for having initiated him into the true path of deliverance, and emotionally remarked that he would hereafter regard Visakha as his mother. So easy during the time of the Buddha. Even behind the curtain, listen. Already sotapan. Now you got recorder. You got all the recorded talk. You should listen attentively. And who knows? Anything can happen. Okay, I read on. Later on, when she bore a son, she called him Migara. On the following day, the Buddha visited her house, and on that occasion, her mother-in-law heard the Dhamma and became a Sotapan too. Yeah, means stream winner, first stage of sainthood. By her tact, wisdom, and patience, she gradually succeeded in converting her husband's household to a happy Buddhist home. Daily Visakha used to give alms to the Sangha at her own home or house, both in the forenoon and afternoon. She used to visit the monastery to minister to the need of the Sangha and hear sermon from the Buddha. Supiya, another devout Buddhist lady, usually accompanied her during her visits. Visakha was so generous and so serviceable to the Sangha that once she approached the Buddha and asked for the following 8 boons. Boon means wholesomeness or merits. To give robe to the Sangha during the rains retreat, as long as she lived. To provide alms to the bhikkhu coming to Savatthi. To provide alms for those going out of Savatthi. To give food for sick bhikkhu, to give food for those who attend on the sick, to give medicine for the sick bhikkhu, to give rice, gruel, how to pronounce this word? Rice gruel for bhikkhu, to give bathing garment for nuns. The Buddha granted this boon to her. One day Visakha happened to visit the monastery, decked in her best favorite garment, presented to her by her father as a dowry. But as she thought, it was unseemly to see the Buddha so gaily decked. She made a bundle of it, gave it to the slave girl, and went to the Buddha dressed in another garment given to her by her father-in-law. After the sermon, she left the monastery accompanied by the slave girl, who forgot to take the bundle which was placed in her custody. Venerable Ananda saw it, and as instructed by the Buddha, kept it in a safe place to be returned to the owner Visakha. On hearing that the bundle was inevitably left by the maid, asked her to bring it back unless Venerable Ananda had touched it. When what had happened was reported to Visakha, she went to the Buddha and expressed her desire to do something beneficial with the money realized by selling the garment. The Buddha advised her to erect a monastery at the east gate for the use of the Sangha. As no one had the means to buy the costly garment, she herself brought it back and erected a monastery at a great cost and named it Pubaranwa. As invited by Visakha, the Buddha and his disciples spent the Vasana period in this new spacious monastery. Great was Visakha's joy when the Buddha spent 6 rain retreat there. See how to get such parami? To invite the Buddha for dana, you already fatat already. This one, given the opportunity to build a monastery, then the Buddha spent 6 vasa with the Sangha there. And you know how the condition come about, not? She doesn't want to dress up that way, so she left her garment that the father gave as a dowry to her. Very expensive, very luxurious type of garment. Then she asked the maid to take care of it, and she wear a normal simple one where the father-in-law gave it to her. Then on the way back, the maid forgot. And because of that, there was condition. And she was so wise. She said, if Ananda has touched, means he cannot have back the garment, but he can sell it. Then use that money for donation. That's how all this condition come about, through her understanding, her generosity, and her wisdom. That's why she not only have parami, she also have wisdom, understanding. And because of the way she act, it's from her past. And that life, as Visakha, you look at her parami, the one that the 8 boons, which he requested the Buddha to give him the opportunity to do. Do you know how much merit is it? So all these are very wholesome. So this particular sharing on Visakha is really, really something that cultivator, especially lady, you all can read through it, develop the faith, the understanding, and emulate what she has done. So in future, when you have the condition to be wealthy or to be in whatever condition, you will know how to make use of your wealth, your possession, based on your understanding, to create condition for wholesomeness. Do you realize one thing? When he was married to the husband at that family, although she was a Buddhist, she followed the Buddha Gautama's lineage. He already a Sotapan. She didn't even want to offend the father-in-law and the family. That's why she abide by the tradition then, the rules then, until the condition arise. The condition arise when the father-in-law had this deep misunderstanding, then wanted to chase her away from the house. Then she make use of all the condition to explain herself so that she is not to be blamed. Then after she had satisfied the father-in-law with everything that he thought she has done wrong, when everything seems to be fine, she told the father-in-law, because of what you did, I have to leave this house. So that time the father-in-law, I think, regretted already, knew that this daughter-in-law is very wise and very good, then plead to her. Oh, then only she saw the opportunity, the condition. Then she said, okay, I can stay. On condition, you don't restrict me when I want to do my religious duty or routine. This is how you request. You must wait till appropriate condition. This is what Dhamma is all about. Otherwise, there is a lot of misunderstanding, especially dealing with father-in-law and mother-in-law. Because different civilization, different society, they have their rules. They may not be Buddhist. So a lot of things depend on understanding. So to me, this particular story of Visakha is a very, very beautiful Dhamma lesson where we can learn a lot from her. You all got anything to add or not? Anybody want to add anything? Yun Chan, yeah. Yun Chan, pass the mic to her. Wait.
Ratio, why is it that when Ananda touched her gown, her dress, then she can't take it back? Why?
Not to say he can't take it back. Because the tradition at that time, you are married to somebody, and your gown, according to their tradition then, you cannot let another man touch and still wear, understand? So Ananda is a monk. So although the monk, the precept is abstain from touching female, understand or not? They have to avoid. That's why in the Thai tradition, when you want to make offering, they don't accept through hand. They put a cloth. You put on the cloth, they accept and they receive. Yeah. So if your garment, which is your dowry gift from your father, and which you proudly wear because it is meant for your wedding. So after the wedding day, when you receive that garment, you should not let that gown be touched by another man. It's just like you allow yourself to be touched, yeah, by another man. So that time, their tradition is very, very conservative and very strict. Certain civilization, certain tradition, you can't even let yourself be seen by others. Do you know that? They have to cover themselves. The ladies have to cover themselves. You allow yourself to be seen. It is big problem. It's like our time during the 60s. You take the daughter whole hand. They say you must marry her already. Understand? It's something like that. You know, such thing. Hey, I date only lah. I'm not serious yet. I haven't decided. No, because during that time, especially the village. I remember even my village also. If the rumor go by or somebody heard, hey, your daughter that night that family's son he hold hand with your daughter. No. I think they go together, see show, go to the park or what. Well, the moment they hear that, they will go to your place, your home, then tell your parents. How are you going to settle all this? So they want you to marry her. Because after this rumor or this type of story go around, you think your daughter still got people on the court or not? That was the conservative society at that time. Even we all Chinese tradition, we have this. So I believe during that time it was because of that. But Visakha, because he's already a Sotapan, he is not so rigid. But he wants to make use of the opportunity to do something at the same time. Don't want to violate any of this tradition. Understand? Practices. So she is very, very tactful. Do you realize? She doesn't want to offend anybody, cause any misunderstanding. Then she turned around the situation, the condition, for wholesomeness. That's why he approached the Buddha. He said, since nobody can buy the garment, I will buy it back. Then this money, please advise me, what can I do to help people? So the Buddha said, you build a monastery there on that eastern side, the gate. Because that monastery is not cheap at that time. So not many people can afford. But Visakha, because the father-in-law also millionaire, the father also millionaire, and their clansmen, they are all very wealthy. So she had the means. That's why she built. And the Buddha knew. This is the parami she has. It's just like this life. You got conditioned to do certain things. My nature will know. Then it will rejoice. It's just like during the year 2004, when you requested me to come out 3 times. Nobody knew what that thing signified. But my nature knew that the condition is there. And this is not something that just come by. That's why I say you have that parami. You must know how to invoke the power of merits. Understand? Because that parami is very powerful because of that small, to you at that time, it's like a simple request. But the condition that arises after that, how it unfolds over the last 13 years, you can start to see many people benefited. And it was all because of your request at that time. So this condition will not end during our life because the website is already there and a lot more of this teaching is going to flourish later on. And many things will happen. And there's a lot of wholesomeness. When Kayanamita, who have the condition to come, they learn all this, they change, they transform, they cultivate, they develop the wholesomeness, the understanding, then they became a blessing to all. So these are the conditions that you can never understand unless you have that type of cultivation. Yeah. So when the Buddha saw the condition, knew Visakha has that parami, he will know what to do. He will know what to tell Visakha. It's like now I tell you how to use the parami. Make aspiration, very strong aspiration by the power of that wholesomeness that merits. Then you channel and direct that parami to whatever your nature wants. Then it will come to fruition because it is a very, very unique merits and parami. It's just like Visakha. You can also make aspiration to have condition to meet up with Sammasambuddha and make such offerings. You can, because example already shown. But you have to be sincere, your faith. Then you must develop dana parami. Unless you have dana parami, you don't have the money or the means. That reminds me of what my wife told me today when I took her for dinner. She remembered this song. Money, money, money. That's the rich man's world. But this one you can change to, that's the rich lady's world. So sometimes you need money or the means to do such merits. So it's just like you make aspiration to meet, but you never make aspiration to recognize you cannot meet. So you make aspiration to do this type of parami, but you never cultivate your dana parami and make aspiration to have the means to do. You can never have it. The condition can never be fulfilled. So this is the understanding of great beings, cultivator. They are very complete in their understanding. That's why they know what to do. They can advise cultivator what to do. And when you have faith, you become different. Then when you become a blessing to all, you also can advise other people. When you have the Dhamma, it's so different. So different. It's so easy to apply what you understand. But you will only teach and share when there is condition. You don't force yourself to do things. Because there is no more attachment, no more mark of a living being, a self-doing. No more mark of Dhamma life and all those things. All this pertain to the conditioned world. It's not the Dhamma world. The unconditioned is different. But you need the understanding of both. Understanding of the mundane Dhamma and the supramundane Dhamma. Means the conditioned world and the unconditioned. And then you develop perfect match. Then you will have the understanding to really live life beautifully. And you will know this forming mind is not you. It's just a vehicle and a tool, comically conditioned for you to come, for your nature to come. Then you will understand what spiritual nature, karmic nature, and how the conditioned world manifests because of nature's law and all those things. Then the mundane Dhamma will explain to you all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, thank you for the good question. It creates conditions.
I remembered reading about this case. Her dress that she wore is all gold, made of gold pieces.
Diamond also.
Very expensive.
Yes. That's why nobody can afford. Even the rich people cannot afford. So these are the beautiful Jataka story or the sharing from great parami cultivators. So you can use them as a, you call it what? Somebody you respect a lot and look forward to, like your idol, your idol, ngao chong, 偶像啊，in Cantonese is what? You just 傲像啊，傲像啊，傲像。 Mandarin word easier, huh? 偶像, huh? So last time, a lot of lady crazy about Huang Lihong, the handsome guy, huh? So a lot of lady, they see Huang Lihong, even on the TV, wow, become very excited. So this is for the what they call the mundane world. But when you have the Dhamma, or when you are in the spiritual field, or as a cultivator, you like to rejoice in all this wholesomeness that this great cultivator had the great understanding to do all this, then you can emulate how they develop it and how they understand the condition and make full use of it, so that in future, when you make the aspiration to have the same understanding, in future when you come, when the condition unfolds, your vow, your aspiration will give rise to the condition for you to perform all this. And these are merits that are not the ordinary one. You are evolved the Buddha and his Sangha member, and not one vasa, no, 6 continuous years of vasa. And that monastery housed so many monastic. And he vowed the 8 boons. You know the 8 boons. Anyone that come into Savatthi, he vows to make offering to the bhikkhu. Anyone he leave, he vowed to offer alms. Then he vowed to support all the bhikkhus that are in Savatthi and all those things. So these are the great parami of great cultivators and great beings. This particular sharing on Visakha is very meaningful and very beautiful, and you can learn many things from this Jataka story. Before I explain, what is your understanding? You just thought it's just like a story, isn't it? You're never really able to penetrate all this, isn't it? But when you really have the Dhamma, you will understand all this. Then you will rejoice with her great understanding, her great virtue and parami. Okay, we go on. On various occasions, several discourse were delivered to Visakha by the Buddha. In one discourse, the Buddha spoke on the observance of the 8 precepts by lay people on Uposatha Day. Do you know what is Uposatha Day or not? Do you know what is Uposatha Day? How many of you don't know? Got one or two. The rest know. So no need to explain. You read the notes. Usually on the first, this one is the lunar calendar. 8, 15, and 23rd of the lunar month are regarded as Uposat. In Thai, they call it Uposat or Uposatha. They are holy days when lay followers observe the following 8 precepts. Attasila. Namely, abstaining from the first 5 is our precepts, the 5 precepts. So abstain from all killing, abstain from all stealing. Then this one, the 3rd one, is not sexual misconduct, celibacy, incelibacy, means no sexual intercourse at all. Then from lying, partake intoxicant, like liquor, drugs and all those things. Then eating food after midday, then heedlessly observing those shows, dancing, singing, music, unseemly show, using garland, perfume, urgent ornaments to decorate yourself, then you are also to observe the precept of not sitting on high seat or luxurious seat or sleeping on high bed and all those things or very comfortable beds. So these are the 8 precepts. Though as a rule they are sometimes observed on Upasatha days, there is no objection to practicing them on any convenient day. The object being to restrain, the word control is wrong, to restrain deeds, words, and the 5 senses. Dealing with the 8 qualities that make a woman seek birth in happy state, the Buddha said, so this one you have to listen. Active, alert, to cherish him always, not to that man who brings her every joy. She offers like nor a good wife move. To rash her husband by some spiteful words, and she reverse all whom her lord. What is it? That word is what? Reverse. Reveals. What is the meaning? Reveal. Respect, isn't it? Yeah? Is it respect? And she reveals all whom her lord do honor, for she is wise. Wow, this English word I don't understand. Deaf, nimble, up betime. She mind his wealth amid his folk at work, and sweetly order all. A wife like this, who with her husband's wish and will comply, is born again where lovely devas dwell. So this one, you want to take birth in the deva plane, you have to be a good wife. But what I understand was, if you want to be born in the deva's plane, you only have to keep your 5 precepts well, and do more merits. In another discourse, the Buddha referred to the 8 qualities in a woman that tend to wealth and happiness in this world and in the next. Spoke as follows. Means you want to have happiness and well-being and maybe good parami, both in this world and the next. You have to do this. Here in Visakha, a woman is capable at her work. She managed the servant in her way. She is lovely to her lord. She guards her his wealth. So these 4 are common. I think common sense too. Then here in Visakha, a woman is accomplished in trustful confidence. This one is not easy. Then virtue, also not easy. Means your precept. Charity. Charity. So, charity or dana parami is very important. And wisdom. So, wisdom is also a factor. So, you need this to have happiness in this life and the hereafter. Otherwise, not easy. Being a lady of many parts, she played an important role in various activities connected with the sasana. At times, she was deputed by the Buddha to settle disputes that arose among bhikkhuni. Wow! Not even a bhikkhuni, but she was given this honor to dictate, to settle disputes that arose among bhikkhuni. See? Not only monk argue, bhikkhuni also argue, also got dispute. Some Vinaya rules were also laid down for bhikkhu owing to her intervention. So she played a great role at that time during the sasana. Owing to her magnanimity, Oh, means very, very efficient and very good. She was regarded as the chief benefactress of the Sasana and the greatest female supporter of the Buddha. See? By her dignified conduct, graceful deportment, refined manner, courteous speech, obedience, and reverence to other elders, compassion to those who are less fortunate, kind hospitality, and religious zeal, see, spiritual zeal, she won the heart of all who knew her. You think it's easy to have this style of paramiyana? First day of marriage, go to Savatthi, what she do? She offered all the offering that she received to all the people in Savatthi. Then this paragraph is so fantastic. By her dignified conduct, and graceful deportment, refined manner, courteous speech, obedience and reverence to elders, compassion to those who are less fortunate, kind hospitality and religious zeal, she won the heart of all who knew her. Each and every of the virtue that was mentioned about her is not easy to accomplish, I tell you. You check how many of you have any of this. That's why PG love. But the funny thing is, when you have the Dhamma, all this become automatic. You don't have to act or plan or train yourself to do. No need. You will then naturally become like that. Because it's from deep inside, through understanding. They will know how to tend towards all those things, conduct themselves accordingly. Then the book states that she had the great fortune to be a happy mother of 10 fortunate sons and 10 fortunate daughters. Give birth to 20 and yet so got so much virtue and parami, you know. What type of wife is it? How to find her? How to take care? There are no problem. She got so many maid, and no, 500 female maiden and 500 male one. So to have that type of parami, not easy, Then we got the last one, Jivaka, the fostering. What is the meaning of fostering? Anybody know the meaning? Yun Chan? Ask Chin Hao to Google. Chin Hao got the handphone. Fostering. Fostering. Jivaka was the celebrated physician of the Buddha. Oh, he is a physician. Immediately after his birth, he was placed in a casket and was cast away by his mother, a courtesan, on a dust heap by the roadside. Prince Abhaya, a son of King Bimbisara, who happened to pass by that way, saw the helpless infant surrounded by crow and discovered that he was alive. That's why Jivati, caused him to be given to the care of the nurses. As he was found alive, he was named Jivaka, from the word Jivati, alive. Being adopted by a prince, she was called Kamara Bacha. Growing up, he became a skillful physician and surgeon. Book states that he made 2 successful operations on a millionaire who was suffering from a severe headache. He used to attend to the Buddha on 3 occasions. 3 times a day. When the Buddha's foot was wounded by the splinter caused by the hurdling of the rock by Devadatta, it was Jivaka who attended to him and healed him. Realizing the manifold advantage of having a monastery close to his residence, he erected one in his mango park. After the consecration ceremony, of this monastery, he became a Sotapan, a stream winner. Jivaka Sutta, which deals with the question of eating flesh, was delivered by the Buddha to Jivaka. It was Jivaka who induced King Ajatasattu to visit the Buddha after his parricide. What is parricide? Huh? What is the meaning of frosteling? Oh, adopted child. Oh, no wonder. Then what is parricide? P-A-R-R-I-C-I-D-E. Killing of parent. That one is patricide, isn't it? What is parricide? P-A-R-R-I. C-I-D-E. What is the meaning? Killing of what? Oh, killing of the father. Oh, serious, huh? Oh, yeah. Ajatasattu killed the father, yes. Because Devadatta plot with him. You remember? Devadatta plot with him, yeah. So he was the one that convinced Ajatasattu to come to see the Buddha. At his request, the Buddha enjoined upon his disciple to take physical exercise such as sweeping, etc. So that one is cultivate mindfulness. Oh, we finish. Very good. So Pauline, next week is your turn. No more rest. So we still got half an hour. Do you have any topic or question? Or anything you want to add? You just have to take the mic. Anybody? Everybody so quiet. Or is there anything that you want me to share? Anybody? Don't have. Then what is it that you all want to learn? PG. Pass to PG.
Right. When I was leaving the office, just where I parked my car, there was it's an illegal extension where these people, this guy, he has apparently three wives. He was quarreling with his wife, and then he beat her. I was very upset. I got out of the car, I wanted to confront him, that he should not beat his wife. And then somehow I managed to stop myself, telling myself, "You're not going to make the situation any better. He will probably scold you for interfering. If he can beat his wife, I don't think he will listen to us." And when I was driving back, I asked myself, "What do you learn from this?"
Yeah, sadhu. That should be the contemplation.
So. Of course, the egoic mind will say, "Thank goodness I'm not married to this dark man." But then, on further contemplation, I told myself, "Does karma come into this?
Yeah.
That she is born in this situation, and I am not.
Yeah.
Can you please stress further on this?
Thank you. Somehow the topic all related. Today I was helping somebody who got problem with their tenancy. But please, don't because of this story, got tenancy problem, come and see me. This one is a good friend, because this particular friend, he got problem with the condo unit that she rented out. I think for 5 to 6 months, he rented out to a dato who's supposed to keep somebody inside there and supposed to be the wife also. We also don't know. That was according to what I heard. Then she got this problem because the agent also not around. She cannot contact the husband. Neither can she contact the wife. And this has been dragging on, and this has causing her some problem. So cut the thing short. She came and checked with me. I said, you got a few options if you want to. You can get a lawyer to evict. Yeah? Or you can... There is a way. I think lawyer will know. You call it the garnishment order. Don't garnish the thing inside there. You can file it through notice, then do it. But the procedure may need lawyer and other things. So I said, why not you get your real estate agent to sort it out for you, because you pay the commission. So all this type of thing, you have the Dhamma, you no need to headache. And I said, no, you only have to resolve it. I said, it's very simple. Then after that, somehow, for a few more weeks, no progress. Then she wanted to engage a lawyer. Then I happened to have my strata title for one of my units. Last time I bought 10 over years ago. Then I need to go to see this lawyer to get my strata title done up. Then when I was there, this friend also take the opportunity to ask, I got this problem, can you all help? So the lawyer said, can. Business on. He said, got one clang office. Then after that, she hesitated. She don't want to engage because she didn't know the lawyer. The clang one also a bit too far. And she wanted to hire a PJ one. I said, you don't worry. Just let things be. Things will sort out. Then suddenly, the wife called her up. It seems something terribly bad went on. Then requested for a meet-up to resolve this. And I said, good, miss, finally you get to resolve it. Then only she very scared, she asked me to follow her and just, you call in Malay, what, teman her, just like help her out. So I went, then I heard this story, you know. You say beating, nothing to her. She was whacked until blue black the eye, 5 times with blood come out. She made 5 police reports. He said the last few months, 5 months so, the husband abused her like anything. And quite a successful lady, you know. Then she made the police report. But to no envy, because it seems that such a novel, after a while, like, refused to attend to her. I don't know, according to her, it's maybe the husband called him the inspector or what. So all these things happen. Then, like I say, you cannot pity or what, because this is karma. People are just the way they are. So, when I came home also, I just share a bit of the story with my wife. Then I say, you should count your good blessing. You don't have such karmic condition to be married to such people. I say, it's all karma because she, in the past, must have done this to others. Understand or not? You reap what you sow. Well, you did to people, like now your husband did to you. And the worst thing she found out, she went to the mosque that initiated the marriage. She was never married. No. There is no marriage document. No. No IC, nothing. They trusted somebody. The husband said, the so-called husband said, he will take care. But it was actually a con man's job. Taking money from her and all those things. Then pretend to say he is a private banker from overseas. His money is all overseas. And he said he need some time to get the money out. Then they start business. No? Say start business. Come out with, the lady come out with 400K. Then this man keep on delaying his part. No? But the company incorporated already. You know? Oh. Then she got so like fed up. She keep on like questioning him. Are you sure you got this type of money and you are a private banker? But how come you got no job, is it? then you can't even pay up what you promised. But a very soft-spoken and sweet talker, you have to be careful. Then worse is a dato, you know. Then you become dati, you know. So a lot of attraction, but end up miserable. Then that lady, the mother also came with her. The mother was crying. So very simple, I advise that the guy, the friend, I said, don't worry, just resolve it. Huh? Then she also felt pity for this lady. That's why I said, you don't preconceive whatever things that happen. Because before that, she got this thought telling her, no, I think this guy cannot be trusted. This tattoo, something must have happened between them. Then this lady also trying to avoid her. I said, forget about all this. This is what your Sankara tell you. You must compose your mind, and so there is no problem at all. It's just a worldly problem. Condition like that, things will unfold like that. You have to go through it, you go through it. Then you understand it. Then with a calm mind, you just have to focus on solving problem, resolving issue. I say you listen attentively when you meet up. No need to preempt anything or prejudge anything. No need. So luckily she appreciated what I advised her. Then she did exactly that. We resolved it very well. And the lady was like, felt good. Suddenly got somebody so understanding. Normally you are the owner, 5-6 months rental not pay, you want to negotiate or not. Most people get angry first, you know. But I say you should appreciate that she is sincere, but she contacted you. Then we were told after she was beaten, the husband destroyed all the record of her phone, smashed the phone number, completely smashed. Yeah. And harassed her, threatened her and all that. That's why she got no choice. She even took photo of how the blood, the blue-black and all those things. And when we met her, she was still with the sunglasses. He said, this is the fifth time. So compared to what you see, that one is nothing. Then last time we got one of these neighbor here, I think Indian family, 2 doors away. Middle of the night, you ask my wife, every time I come back drunk, Indian. Then I think must beat up the wife or what. Wow, like commotion, argument, crying and all those things. So count your good karma. If you have not created such karmic condition for you to end up this way, you already very blessed, understand? Some of you have been complaining, ayo, why like that? I say, you haven't seen worse than you. Then you will appreciate life. So a lot of this, especially our Kayamita, I used to tell them, you know why you refuse to get married? Because along the way, through the Dhamma, you must have seen a lot of this. Understand? So you must have made that vow or determination not to get married. This is what my nature says. Otherwise, you cannot end up like that one. Then you all want to be independent, alone and all that. But it's your life. You decide. If you have the Dhamma already, you will become different. You will accord and flow. As long as you have goodness and kindness, you reap what you sow. Your life will be beautiful when you come. Do you understand? That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of your life, your future. And every format mind that you take to come, the vehicle and the tool, will become beautiful because of that karmic inheritance and the spiritual understanding. That's why last Tuesday I rub off already. The form and mind, in order to live a successful life, what must you have? The 2 types of wisdom. Mundane wisdom and the supramundane wisdom. You must have both. Then you understand and you will know how to live. Otherwise, you suffer miserable. Even the early Thursday class when Elsie and Brother Chai took me, they used to offer me the transport to go to Thursday Club, Brother Tim's house, especially Padmasri's house. We used to discuss in the car. I said, that's why you appreciate, because this is what karma is all about. You read what you sow. And this world, a lot of people suffer. Because Brother Chai was talking about her business partner who go through very what, then how he has to endure all those things, the tests and all those things. So it's not easy. If you have the Dhamma, you can endure, you become beautiful. Well, this is part and parcel of the training, the understanding. If you don't have the Dhamma, I tell you, you will not last the journey. Yeah, that's why he said earlier on, a lot of those partners who don't have the patience and the understanding, they just opt out. They can't, they can't cope with such thing. There are a lot of people are very short, short term. Yeah? They want to see immediate benefit or no, or immediate result or no. Otherwise, they don't want to go along with you. They don't have the understanding, the patient, they cannot see condition, they cannot understand the Dhamma sign and all those things. If you can see all this, the Dhamma sign, the condition and all those things, your nature will know. And you will not judge by what they dress, or what you see or what you hear. You judge through your own nature. Your nature can sense, can feel, whether this person got parami or not, got affinity or not. Yeah, sincere or not, honest or not, you will know. Yeah. And because of your good karma, good parami, yeah, you will have that understanding and that condition to avoid all those foolish and heedless. And you know, those who come, they have the condition. But whether that condition can translate into beneficial understanding for them or not, depends on how things unfold. Sometimes the condition is like not complete. They got certain condition to meet up, but they don't have the parami to receive much. Yeah. That's why you have the condition to meet up is because of certain affinity or past causes. But you must also cultivate to have the parami to receive. Otherwise you cannot receive. That's why there are some, especially during the early day, not many. Most of them that come, somehow they stay. Or after that, they know how to cultivate on their own, then they are okay. But some, they come, they cannot understand anything. And then they just left. So you can see through all this, how karma actually functions. And you have the Dhamma, you are mindful, you are sensitive, you will understand all this. That's why the nature's law that governs life and existence, they are very powerful. The law of karma, they are very powerful. Law of mind, paticca samuppada, dependent origination. All these are very beautiful teaching, and they are very, very powerful teaching. So, when you have the Dhamma, you will have all this understanding. Right view regards to law of karma. Right view regards to the form of mind, how you function as a human being. How your mind functions, following the dependent origination. Then right view regards to the Four Noble Truths. Then the essential Dhamma of the Buddha spin off from that Four Noble Truths. That's why the third right view is Four Noble Truths. Yeah. These are truths that can make you noble ones, enlightened ones. And all the other essential Dhamma are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. The Noble Eightfold Path itself is a complete teaching. Yeah. That is the meditation. Yeah. Then the reality of life existence explained clearly to you the reality of the conditioned world. Then the cause of arising of suffering, misery, attachment, craving, grasping, delusion. All these are the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculties, the five mental illness. These are all the essential Dhamma, spin off from the Four Noble Truths. Then the third Noble Truth is about cessation of suffering for my mind, leading to Nibbana, enlightenment, the supramundane understanding of the unconditioned. That's why the Four Noble Truth itself is very complete. That's the reason why I always share with you all, even in the seminar book. It's like the secret of life. All of life, mundane and supramundane, they are all beautifully summarized into just Four Noble Truths. That's why in the year 1971, The first time I saw the Four Noble Truths, I read, this nature straight away knew, this must be the true one. Nobody in this universe, I said, can summarize all of his enlightenment and understanding into just Four Noble Truths like that. At that time, even my nature, that time I haven't really meditated, my nature knew deep inside. Even if I have understood the teaching, if without the sasana, I cannot summarize it this way. Only a Sammasambuddha can do it. And all this understanding will be there. That's why it's very unique and very beautiful. Okay? Yeah? PJ? So hopefully, now you know, huh? You don't interfere unnecessarily, unless there is condition. But people have their own karma. They are just the way they are. They reap what they sow. So, after all, it's just for my mind, not what you think. With the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering, non-self and empty. So, forget about what the thought tell you. So, the thought can create sankhara, create story for you. Then you say, I must help, I must do good. There is no such dhamma in this world. Must, no such thing. If there is dhamma, you will echo and flow, unless there is condition. And the condition means the sign will come. Condition will keep on arising. Then you know this is meant to be, you have to do something. Otherwise, no need. Then when you want to act also, there must be condition. Without condition, don't go and do foolish thing. Yeah, you get yourself in trouble for nothing. So, Dhamma is about understanding the way things are. When you have that sensitivity, the understanding, you will know how to act. You will become beautiful. Because you have the understanding, which is the Dhamma. Okay? Yeah. Anybody else? Can you all see me? I think this column blocks a lot of people. I better come back and sit here. Yeah. We got another 10 minutes. Anybody else? Ah, yeah, Yun Chan. Ah, Pastor Mark. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Push it on.
I want to mention that this, your teaching was also quite similar to what this Reverend Mahinda was saying.
Oh, okay.
He said a lot of people have been practicing for a long time and they have not attained enlightenment. And he said there must be some blockage.
Yeah.
So ask them to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, very important. Your karmic obstruction is very severe. Yeah, you don't play a fool, especially when you lead people astray. Yeah, go and recommend the wrong method and technique. And tell people this is vipassana. You get yourself in
trouble. Yeah, you're saying that, and you don't think so much.
Yeah.
then you will be able to get closer to Dhamma.
Yeah, because your sankhara lesson, understand? When you have right view, avijja weaken. You straighten your view, less avijja, less ignorant, then less thinking. Your avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorant, mental activity arise. So how can your thought cease? Can never cease unless you have severe ignorant avijja. And avijja is much, much more deeper than sakkayaditti. Sakkayaditti is just a small part of avijja. Sakkayaditti is just self-delusion. Whereas avijja is real ignorant. Ignorant of the truth, the Four Noble Truths. Ignorant of who you are, what you are, of course that one is sakkayaditti. That ignorance has many, many levels. All of your views and opinions from memory, they are all delusion. Memory cannot give you understanding. Understanding is wisdom from your nature. You need to awaken to it from the silent mind. That's why thought-based meditation, you don't stand a chance. You need to be heedful. To be heedful, you must be ever mindful. You can't even be mindful in the midst of life. How can you be ever mindful? If you see that point, then you will understand what is heedfulness, the importance of daily mindfulness. Unless you stabilize that, enlightenment will not happen. Okay? Sadhu. Thank you for the good question and the good sharing. Sadhu. Alicia, you check the mic. I think not fully off. Yeah, have to press it down. Or one more stage. Yeah, and now no more. Right? We are just now still got sound. Yeah. So tonight, I think you have good sharing. Huh? We still got 5 more minutes. Anybody else? Brother Song already shared in the Thursday class. You want to know what he shared, you can listen to the Thursday class. It's very good that night on. I don't know why he don't want to share in the Tuesday class. Maybe Sadhu. Sadhu. Oh, good. So finally Tuesday class get to listen.
Brother, 我要 share 一点，就是我在 Bali 的 trip 里面的一些 experience。 我这次去 Bali 的时候， 我跟我妈妈去， 我没有什么去 talk， 我没有什么 arise 那个 thought， but after
yeah.
我回来， 我在 contemplate， 诶， 我发现到了有一些的不一样， 就是， 我们这个 company trip， 我们每一天，我的同事都跑去做 massage，
and then
我都跑去问， how is the massage？ 他们讲，哇，又好又便宜。 Then every day 他们都去 from the foot until the body。 Then 我，但是我每一天都问他们， but 我又没有 actions。 On the last day the morning， 我去 breakfast 的时候， like 我自己里面有那个 self realization 讲。 你不一样了，你不会去 grasping，
yeah,
也不会去。以前你听到哇，
you won't get drawn into all this， the excitement and all that。
以前你听到哇，又便宜又好， 哇，你一定也跟着去。
Yeah, it's different.
You self realize that 你不一样了。
You will know, Very good, Sadhu. All this.
And then， 还有一天就是， 我们在一个 restaurant 吃饭的时候，这个 waitress 跑来跟我， 因为我跟妈妈一起吃饭，她来跟我讲话， suddenly 我 feel 到 like 很 touching 啊，我的这个 heart 这里，因为我觉得很奇怪，我就看住她，我 silent 的看住她， like 我可以 feel 到她里面的 kindness 跟她的
sincere，correct sincerity，
yeah，you
can feel them one，you can feel them，there are people with this style of parami。
因为很多人都跑来，因为我每天跟我妈妈在一个 corner 吃饭，很多的 waiter waitress 都来跟我们谈天。But suddenly 这个 waitress 来跟我讲话的时候，我很 touching 的。所以我在看她的时候，哎，her
sincerity
啊，我可以 feel 到她的里面的 sincerity 跟她的那个
kindness。And
then 最后一天的时候。 Morning， 因为我们住的那个 hotel， 是在我们在五楼
yeah.
吃那个 breakfast， 我们 facing 那个海， so last day 的 morning 就下毛毛雨，
yeah.
我们要回之前又下毛毛雨，
yeah, yeah.
then 那个 morning 我就跟我妈妈就在吃 breakfast 的时候，我很 relax 很 enjoy，
yeah, yeah.
it's very nice， suddenly 我的这个 heart 这里就一直 vibrating
yeah, yeah,
vibrating。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
他一 vibrating 的时候，一过后，他就自己就 share 那个 marriage 出来了，transfer
marriage，
transfer 那个 marriage。
Because Bali a lot of this type of being need marriage， they want this type of marriage。
然后我自己，我这次我的 top 没有去 interfere，like 不像以前，如果我 vibrating 的时候，我就会，哎呦 what happened，那我就去看 right left
啊，但这次我没有，他就自己的
actions 了。
very good， 沙雕。
Actually， 那个当我们在 landed 那个 Bali 的 飞机在 landed before 它
you can
land，
feel，
like
you can feel，
like 50 meter 的时候，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
我全身 vibrating
yeah, yeah,
很 strong，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
跟我讲，哎 ，what happened to 这个 这个 island？ 我讲 there must be something，
no， the beings know， they know， That's why everywhere I go, whether spiritual trip or just ordinary trip, my nature can feel, can sense. And I will know. Because most of the time, these beings, they know who you are. And they are waiting for you as you're rejoicing.
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm very lucky. The volcano eruption happened only after they come back. Understand?
还没有去之前就已经开始也一直出烟了。
Yeah.
所以我的老板也很紧张。
Yeah.
Then 当我们去的那个 within 那个 3 weeks 他就 stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
当我们一回来的两个礼拜后，他又
start again.
See?
You see, you know, it's not psychic or magic, you know. It's because of your virtue when you are there. And a lot of these things happen. The moment I land, everything go back to normal. Then the moment we left, the typhoon, the storm came. And many things happen. Then in this case, they were lucky. Do you know now a lot of flights were canceled? A lot of people are stranded in Bali. Yeah. Then all the flight canceled. No flight to take you home. You understand? So you can be stranded there for don't know how long. Well, one plane can only take 100 over or 200 passengers, and there are so many thousands down there. You have to really wait for the thing to clear, and they were so lucky. During that period, they were there, it subsided, it didn't go on. Then after that, become very violent. That's why you must have parami. You don't play a fool. No, it's not like that one. No, you cannot. When you use your thought, it's gone. You know what these people tell me, you know, during the early day before I come out to share? You know, some of my friends, they know that I meditate and they thought I got psychic. You know. They keep on coming and ask me, Ethio, you can see the future. He want to know the next 4-digit draw. I say, it doesn't work that way. But I did test it. I did test it. When I don't have any intention or anything, I really strive. And the thing just happened. It's for me to understand. Even when the day, first day, I went to work, when I graduated, I drove my brother's car. The first day I went to report for work in Penang, I was working for this. Last time I was not listed. They call Jurutama. Yeah? They have a subsidiary called ICP, Industrial Concrete Product, later on listed. First day I went there, I report. I drove that car there. I didn't know they were, their office, I got 40 people come on to write numbers on them. Then I was up there, where I was the engineer, first day reported. Then the accountant, Leong Thai, and my secretary, they said, Mr. Teo, you want to buy 4-digit or not? Huh? I said, what to buy? He said, any number lah you like. I said, okay. My car number. Really came out. And the whole office, nobody buy. I said, but then when I strike, the secretary there, Leong Thai, asked me, how come you're so lucky? First day come, you strike. I said, you didn't see my car. The number came out. Oh, then only they start to notice my car. Then after that, too late already. Then there was one day when I was, my last job, Mitra Jaya Holdings, my office was near this Wantan Min. The Hoving Ki or what? I don't know what Wantan Min. Sorry, not Hoving Ki, something else. Then next to it is the Toto Magnum or Toto outlet. No, so that day I couldn't find car park, so I just parked at the don't know Magnum or Toto outlet. No, my company car. 4846. I still remember. Say fat, say low. 4846. You know what happened or not? After I went out for a meeting, I come back. I went with my MD. I come back. When I collect my car, everybody looking at me. He said, you strike? I said, what you mean strike? your car came out first price. Oh. I said, I didn't know, I didn't buy. Oh. Everybody was looking at that car. 4846. That's why I tell you. Then a lot of things, this nature, if you have the condition, it will manifest. Yeah. So, but it's not for you to use your thought and will it, and you think you can do that, you go and do. Cannot. Like you say, like that you should stay longer. Or all the disaster area, right till you fly there. How can? Cannot. You don't have condition, nothing happen on. And all this, you cannot interfere, because this is nature. If like that, you become egoic, understand? Or? You want to interfere, because you don't understand the Dhamma. The Dhamma doesn't work that way. So, but human mind work that way, and it's not very fast one. Oh, Birdsong, you should stay longer. We pay for your hotel bill. not like that. But one thing you will witness is, you will realize your nature different, your parami different. You are like very lucky, very blessed. Everywhere you go, well protected, guarded. Like something is taking care of. Even our Kayamata tree, spiritual tree, you will know, like something taking care of you. The weather very kind to you. Understand? And everywhere you go, very smooth one. A lot of things just go your way. So, this is part and parcel of the Dhamma. If you have the Dhamma, you will have good life. You will be blessed. You will be well protected. Because the thing you do is so conducive. You share merit, you transfer merit. You actually pay respect and gratitude towards all these great beings, their nature, especially the Dhamma protector we talk. That's why on our spiritual tree, I always ask you all to pay respect. We talk is a bodhisattva, Dhamma protector. If you are a cultivator of the way, you are also part of the sasana, understand? Because you walk the path of Dhamma. And they will protect you because you are part of the sasana. So Dhamma protector protect cultivator who walk the path of Dhamma. And they will rejoice and they know. That's why you have this special, what they call parami and affinity. And sometimes Kayamita used to tell me, say, but what you say is very true. When we keep the precept, when we have the Dhamma, when we have less negativity, less selfishness, less fear, less delusion. We like very blessed. Everywhere we go, like everything is very, very smooth flowing. We don't have problems. But don't go and expect, brother, say like that. I think I'm not scared. Wallet simply put, handbag simply. I tell you, creating condition for your own negative karma from the past, which you have not taken care to happen. And then don't blame me. Brother Tim, I follow what you say. How come I still cannot rock? Because you look for it. You are not heedful. Why you want to show off when you are traveling? Be simple. Be humble. Where there is condition for you to dress out, you dress out. It doesn't mean you cannot dress out. You can. You can carry your good, nice handbag, no problem. But make sure it's appropriate condition. Try to avoid unnecessary condition. Because especially those who have not developed the cultivation to that level, you don't try your luck. Because anything can happen. Your past karmic condition, when karma is like that, whenever there is condition, you better watch out. It can happen. It will cause things to arise. Because they find it so difficult to deal with you, because you got so little of this. Wherever got condition, they arise. That's why the Arahant died immediately after that, go to death. It's because they know they have to take action and do something. That's why this animal, they are actually non-human, went into the animal and go the Arahant. Because these are people with revengeful things and all those things. So it will happen. Because of what karma is all about. You look at Mongalana. Just because of the condition at that time, even with the psychic, he refused to escape the last time. He still can escape because of his psychic. But he knew because of what he has done in the past. He killed his parents when they were blind. So that's how he ended up allowing those people to attack him and smash him up. And he actually, luckily he was already an arahant, that's why he don't suffer. But his body was badly smashed up. And after that they thought he died. He's still able to use his psychic to bring all the fire aggregate back and go and pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha before he leave. According to the Jataka story. And both the top disciples, Sariputta and Moggallana, died before the Buddha passed away. They passed away before the Buddha passed away. So, from the Jataka story, you can learn many things, see a lot of things. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, I take up too much of your time, or almost 9 minutes extra time. You also rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, and you can make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus, and maybe dedicate and share this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chirpumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa niwana patia. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the holy ones.